Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Violette Verdi, one of the great ballerinas of the 20th century, was in Boston recently to judge an international ballet competition, the first one in this city. It drew hopeful young dancers from around the world in displays of sometimes shaky, sometimes dazzling technique and budding artistry.
Number two, Sarah Wickerek, USA, with a variation from Paquita.
Violette Verdi has a sharp eye for talent and a kind heart for encouraging it. She's now distinguished professor of ballet at Indiana University in Bloomington. Another dance professor once described her as looking more like a delightfully rounded French country innkeeper than the sleek racehorse she was in the 1960s when she danced for genius choreographers George Balanchine and Jerome Robbins at the New York City Ballet. And that's part of her charm, as Here and Now's Lynn Menegon discovered when she sat down with Violette Verdi, not her real name.
I am born Nelly, with a Y, Guillerme, in a little city in Brittany called Pont-l'Abbé, which means the bridge of the Abbey, which when I was born was about 600 people. And now they have a little theater, and they ask me if I would accept that they give my name to the auditorium.
And how will you put your name there? Will you say Nelly or will you say Violette Verdi?
Well, I say Violette Verdi now because, you know, Roland Petit, my first ballet director, also had said that Nelly Guillaume didn't wear very well. Nelly maybe, but Guillaume no. And so I became Violette.
Was it easy for you to decide that you wanted to dance?
My mother decided it for me, and I was very obedient. But the reason was, the background was, that I was very musical, and I had reactions to music that literally led me to more emotions than, you know, is normal, and also to more activity. And so the doctor said to my mother after a while, you know, we have to tie her out harmoniously. And that was his expression, and my God, it was so accurate. So my mother said, what about ballet? He said, well, if you think it's, why not? And my mother said, I like it, not having seen it, I like what I see because of the architecture in space. We are architecture in space. We're not just motion or movement. We also build forms, lines. So that's how I was spoken for and addressed directly to something which, after a year of a little bit of reservation from me and maybe hesitation and shyness somehow, it became obvious to myself that I was doing the right thing at the right time in the right place. And in dance, for instance, and in the other arts, you have such a recognition of something bigger than you that makes you bigger. When you follow it, you really get there.
You got there on the stage of New York City Ballet.
Being with Balanchine and Robbins definitely was one of those privileges that not everybody gets, and it's once in a lifetime, obviously. I mean, it was the highest point of my life.
Balanchine and Robbins, the great people of the New York City Ballet, gave you the garden in which to flower. I guess Balanchine was famous for the flower
metaphors.
What was he to you?
Oh, I never use usually the word guru because it has been so completely misunderstood. But in his case, I would say he was our guru because he was the one that removes ignorance of, you know, what we didn't know. He provided, he gave us appreciation, and all of that with such a respect of each person in his company, like they were the most precious jewel of the crown. And he was not a man of words, but when he wrote a work for us, we discovered that he knew who we were sometimes better than we knew.
Thank you.
Give me an example. You had some great roles.
Well, many, so many roles, jewels.
Emeralds, he made.
Emeralds, yes, that's right, the emeralds, which also is a very deep and but serene already and accepting and in a way resigned, but with nobility, resigned with asset.
Did he see that in you or in the music?
Of course, he never thought of steps before he would be with a dancer in the studio. But he had an idea of the situation and the atmosphere. Now, is there anything more elusive than that? Yes, taste, maybe. If it isn't there, oh boy, do we suffer and we know it. So he chose us for that duty, so to speak, to carry that duty and to deliver the goods.
Deliver the goods. And that was what you did for many, about 20 years at New York City Ballet.
Yes.
What were some of your most cherished moments of dance, personally, for yourself, that you remember, that you knew the audience felt something?
Dancers don't always have a self-judgment that is reliable, but the best moments were when I completely forgot myself and I was just dancing. It's very rare, and I cannot tell you that I had that many times. Definitely not. But the few times that I had, I remembered. And also people saw it. People would come and say, oh my God, tonight you were completely carried away and just free. So it's a form of freedom. Yeah.
Do you see this moment in the dancers, young dancers today, or are they too young?
No, yes, because when you see rare talent, you salute, you say, oh, we have a container here and there's a lot. But for some people, they're technically very concerned and very good about that technique, but they don't realize that the audience doesn't want to just see that only. They want to see the person and the person with that technique saying something to them.
And can you develop that? Can you instruct someone to get to that point of being able to release that?
You can trigger something of their interest and see if the interest is there. And I've choreographed for people to reveal them in a way that other ballets might not have revealed them, because I'm very good at getting people's number quickly. And then I go to work. And, you know, sometimes I say, I have to tiptoe here. Or this, I can just jump in. Or somebody else, I better give time here. Okay, I'll surround the fortress for a while.
I think you learned well from Mr. Balanchine.
You know, when I look back and I see the ladder that got me there, I marvel at how it was a preparation, in fact, to get there. But I didn't know it. And I didn't think I was a dancer for him, you know, because I was never a borzoi. I was more of a French poodle.
But instead of a big Russian elegant dog, you were
yes.
a little French poodle.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
But the most cute French
exactly.
poodle.
Well, yes, you know.
Former ballerina, now distinguished professor of ballet, Violette Verdi, speaking with Here Now's Lynn Menegon at Boston's International Ballet Competition. For video and backstage photos, go to hereandnow.org. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us to see what the week brings. Here and Now.